Glad to be here. I'm also just glad for the enthusiasm of young people tonight, the rest of you. And you know, it would be if our lives was a tribute of praise to the Lord, wouldn't you say? You know, that we would bring him praise, and we'd have a song in our hearts, a song that will never go away. How would you like a review? Well, it doesn't matter. You're going to get one. In lesson one, we looked at this thing called the human dilemma and the God who's able. And actually used that title for many, many of the stories of the Bible. And we looked at the God who was able to deliver the disciples on the stormy sea. We know many of us have storms in our life, difficult, difficult times, but the Lord provides. We looked at the Lord dealing with men who were demon-possessed, controlled by the evil one. We loved the thought that they were clothed, seated in the right mind. And what a wonderful truth that is, that the Lord has complete control over Satan and his ways. And then we looked at the Lord who healed that one who was paralyzed. And he also spoke words of forgiveness that day. And so we can say with assurance he's able to save completely those who come to God by him. Then in this next lesson, we look from the book of Habakkuk about trusting God when you don't understand. And be assured of this, there'll be plenty of things in your life when you just can't explain it. You won't have an explanation for it. But the just shall live by faith. And we walk with the Lord, we're saved by grace through faith, and we walk with the Lord because of his grace, and we stand because of his grace. And we think about, as Habakkuk pointed to us, we need to look at a God who's on the throne. He rules, his government rules. And we also need to think about a God that one day will right all these wrongs. And whether things are good or bad, we're going to praise the Lord. And that's what Habakkuk did at the end of it. We're true to him, and we're bright with our witness. So we trust God, even when we don't understand. Then this last lesson, we looked at facing adversity. Well, it was the third lesson, facing adversity with joy. And we think of the words of James, where he says that, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work so that you can complete, lacking nothing." Now, do people usually rejoice when they have a hard time? No. But if you know that God is working in your life, you can rejoice in the Lord, not necessarily in your problems or in those difficulties, but we rejoice in the Lord all the time. Facing adversity with joy. We looked at Peter, who taught us about having a living hope, and that living hope is in Christ. And he also talked about living in holiness, and we're saved from sin's penalty. He wants us to be saved from sin's power. Sin doesn't have to control us. And there's certainly much appeal in our world today for that, isn't there? So much appeal to take that path of sin and folly, and not be on the path of wisdom and righteousness. Then, of course, walk in harmony. We walk in harmony. We love each other. We care for each other. And in that sense, the Christian church is united. We hope that families are united. Couples are united. We walk in unity. In fact, when Carol and I were first married, we took a verse for many years from the book of Amos, Amos 3:3, is that correct? How can two walk together except they be agreed? And as believers, we have the core that we certainly agree on, and that's the person of Christ. And we walk in harmony with each other because of that. Different backgrounds, different looks, but we're connected. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We belong to each other. We walk united, and we walk on. We never, never walk alone. Then we look today at a winning way, Philemon, his interaction with Paul. And the whole little letter is just filled with being courteous and thoughtful and mindful. And one of the words that comes out of it is just kindness. Kindness that we show to each other. And certainly we've experienced the Lord's kindness, and even this runaway slave, Onesimus, who had a change. He met Paul. The Lord was watching over him. He trusted Christ as Savior. And so, you know, he was going to come back to Philemon. That was the right thing to do. Now, Philemon didn't think of him as a slave anymore. Paul said, think of him as a beloved brother. And if he owes you anything, put it on my account. Put it on my account. When we think of what we owe the Lord, we just have to believe that that's the biggest debt we ever had. And he's paid for it fully and completely, never to bring it up again. And so with grace in our hearts, we receive each other. And Philemon was a beloved brother. You know, every sister and brother in the meeting are beloved people. They're in the beloved, accepted that I am. And that's how we treat each other. We view each other as valuable. So learn to think and speak and work with kindness and grace. The message of Philemon. Now, you want the summary of my message tonight? You want the message? I'll give you the message. Living with criticism and unfulfilled desire. So we're going back in the Old Testament. We're going to look at a life of a lady. We're going to look at Hannah. We have Hannah. I know we have one Hannah in this place. We might have more. But for Samuel, we're going to look at this story. Now, she was the wife of Elkanah, and she didn't have children. And so Elkanah had another wife, Peninnah, and she had children. And so Hannah was just tormented. Let me read a little bit, starting with verse 2. And he had two wives. The names of one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. You expect there's a little conflict in that home with two wives? I would think there's a lot of conflict. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, Peninnah, also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. She was barren. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? You know, there's some guys just have no understanding. They just don't get it. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, watching her mouth, and now Hannah spoke in her heart only, and her lips moved, but her voice was not heard, that Eli thought she was drunk. What a sad thought there. So Eli said unto her, how long will you be drunk? Put away the wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I've spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you've asked of him. So my last verse, and she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She believed what he said. You know, at the end of Judges, it said about the people of Israel that every man did what was right in his own eyes. They did whatever they pleased, and what they pleased was not pleasing to the Lord. And this high priest was a feeble old man, and his two sons were wayward and wicked. And into this scene, God brought a remarkable godly woman, Hannah. And Susan Wesley, of course, was a godly woman. She was a mother of both John and Charles. And instrumental, these men were instrumental in a great revival in England long ago. And her husband, Samuel, was a fiery preacher. People of the parish were a rebellious, stubborn, drunken crowd. When Samuel rebuked them for their sins, some of the number set fire to the Wesley home. And most of the children escaped through a side door in the lower window, but 6-year-old John was left behind in the excitement. And two brave men standing on the shoulders of each other pulled John out the window. So John said, really, I'm a pluck from the brand of the burning. The Lord pulled me out of there. And the life of Charles Wesley was also remarkable. He was premature, and the nurse that was helping Mrs. Wesley took him up for dead. She wrapped him in a soft wool blanket, kept him warm. One day he opened his eyes and cried like a normal baby. And John and Charles both had difficult beginnings, but they were used by God to bring a revival in England. Here's a verse from Psalms 85 and verse 6. It says, and this is a prayer, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. Isn't that the cry of our heart? Will you not revive us again? And not that we experience God's blessing, but that we would rejoice in the Lord. Show us your mercy. Show us, and that's that word again. The Hebrew word is hesed, which means steadfast, unfailing love. Show us that, Lord. And grant us your salvation. Will you not revive us again? Well, Hannah was a woman of God. She loved the Lord, walked with the Lord, honored the Lord. And her name means grace. Her life, however, was difficult. Her husband loved her, but his second wife tormented her. And yet, the purposes of God were being worked out in her life. Furthermore, because we were united in Christ, we received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and it makes everything work out according to his own plan. Well, Hannah didn't know that plan, but the Lord was working that plan out. She also, although she had difficulty learning in her difficult life, she trusted the Lord. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is a verse for young people, just to feast on that. Think about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He'll direct your paths into the paths of wisdom and righteousness. A difficult life. We all have that sometime or other. But the Lord is in control. He's sovereign. And so therefore we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. When we believe that God is in control of even the dark things in our life, we look to the Lord. We look to him for strength and for help and direction. The application here is this. When life is difficult, God is still on the throne. And that should calm our hearts. And it's certainly brought a change in Hannah's life. Notice after she had that word that she would have a child, she ate and she was no longer sad. You know, there are times when I pick up my Bible and things are a little difficult. I read a passage and he's just warmed my heart. And I'm no longer just stressed and distressed about something. The Lord has just brought peace. Rest and be at peace. And we talked about the verse the other day that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Is there plenty of that in our world? Lots of fear. But a power. Power in the gospel. Power in our Savior. And of love and of a sound mind. He's given us authority to speak his word to others who need it. It's not God's will that you agonize over your problems. Do you agonize over your problems? Yeah, a lot of people do. This one just stepped right over it, and he's going up the road, and that's good. Women of God undergo real problems. We all do, but women of God. She was a barren woman, and the Lord had closed her womb, we read. In Job 2:10, it says, "Shall we not accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" We love the good, but we don't like hard times in our life, but sometimes that's there from James 1 to give us some endurance. It's God's doing. 2 Timothy 3:12, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." She was persecuted by his other wife. And then we just need to rest in this. God's in control. Here's a verse from Ephesians 1:11. "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to his counsel, the counsel of his own will." So everything in our life is worked together. And it's like we, you know, Romans 8:28. You see the wives cook the cake, and they, you know this illustration probably. They put the eggs in, put the I don't want to say iodine in, but put the...
He's not a cook.
I'm not a cook. The flour, the sugar. What do you put the brown stuff in? Put that in. You got all these things in there. You mix it all up. And you say, "Do you want to eat that?" No. But put it in the oven, put a little heat to it, and it turns out to be a cake. And that's what the Lord does. He works all things together for good. Ultimately, it's just the way he wants it. The ladies afterwards want to teach me how to make a cake. I'll listen. A barren woman, but God was in charge. And so summary of that is that whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. And the trials people had in the past are things that we can learn from. And the Lord came through for Hannah. We had a mother that had a daughter, a 43-year-old daughter, called me. It was just broken. And this daughter was being wayward. But this mother's heart wanted me to pray, and she thought this lady would stop, and she did, and talked to us, that I would just help her daughter on this journey. And I thought, you know, mothers never stop loving people, do they? They never quits. They continue. They hang on. We honor and give thanks for godly men and women who remain steadfast in their life, seek to be pillars of faith and courage. And I love 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my dear brethren, be steadfast. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." That's the New International Version. So we pray and we stand fast. People of God pray, don't they? Sometimes problems are used by God to get our attention. We wake up and we pray. Psalms 119 and 50 and 71 says this, "Your promises revive me. It comforts me in all my trouble. My suffering was good, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees," the word of God. So there's nothing like a little problem or two to cause you to pray. Our problems often drive us to pray. And Samuel, she was deeply distressed. She prayed, and she, a little bit like the thief on the cross, she said, "Remember me. I'm barren. Remember me." And sometimes we might be falsely accused, like she was. Ever had anybody point their finger at you? Falsely accused. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk?" How despicable that the priest in the temple would not discern this woman was troubled about something and accused her of being drunk. That was true of his sons, but not Hannah. No, Lord, I am troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. You know, I hope you have verses in your memory bank or in your Bible that are marked out for your own encouragement. Here are a few of them. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I don't know if you know that verse, but it's a great verse. And if you get a Navigator verse pack, it's in there in terms of living. Philippians 4, 6. Now I know the King James Version, but this is the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. We know it this way: be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Is that true in your life when we prayed about things, so troubled, and we just bring it before the Lord? Give all your worries and cares to God. He cares for you. That's the New Living Translation. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. That's a promise. There's something about humbling yourself and praying. And Hannah did that. The other night we talked about four ways God answers prayers. I just like this. You know, direct, we love it, don't we? Delayed, not so much. That happened to Daniel. Different, well, okay, we'll follow, Lord. And finally, deny. You know, the Father often knows best, don't we? We say that as heavenly, earthly fathers, but the Heavenly Father does too. Hannah's prayer was earnest, humble, honest, simple, specific, obedient. And she simply said, Lord, give me a child. Give me a son, and I will give him to the Lord. That's a vow. And what mother and father that has a child, why not just say, Lord, you've given me? We did that when we got our first one. In fact, after, you know, 2 or 3 years, Carol wanted to give him away. We'd already given him to the Lord, But he was a number. He was just really kind of wired up. This prayer was God-honoring. Circumstances do not change immediately for Hannah, but her outlook changed immediately. And find grace in your sight, O Lord. The woman went her way and did not eat, and her countenance was no longer sad. We could see her face was shown by her face, by her faithfulness. She went to the temple by her fruitfulness. And she was a servant of the Lord. And you know something, when you're being tormented, you still demonstrate character for God. Isn't that a wonderful trait? You're still standing for the Lord, even when things are difficult. And the big picture is John Phillips said this, not one of Peninnah's children, as far as we know, amounted to anything. But Hannah's little boy, Samuel, which means God hears, became God's answer to an apostate nation. One little child that came from Hannah. They that know your name will put their trust in you. O Lord, you have not forsaken those who seek you. That's a great verse to memorize. You know the Lord, put your trust in him, and know that he'll never forsake you. And he's a God hearing and a God answering, and you will be blessed. The application. Well, we have to fight our battles with prayer, don't we? Lots of times we just have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. This is bigger than I am. I need your help. We never move away from being dependent on God. Every day, it's our lifeline. We read our Bibles, we seek the Lord's face, we walk in fellowship with him. And we don't allow bitterness and anger and blame to block any blessing in our life. God sees, doesn't it? We don't want to be caught up in anger and bitterness and blame. And actually, it's easy to kind of downshift into that, don't we, when things are difficult. That attitude does not please the Lord. Here's in the dark moments will pass, and we heed the exhortation of 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Well, I think Hannah was doing that. Great, great example. Follow Hannah's example. For this child, I pray. How many parents continue to pray? I have a 50-year-old son. I still pray for him every day. I have two daughters in their 40s. I pray for these children. And I pray for their children. I pray for a lot of other children in our meeting. Some that are wayward. I pray for them as well. We follow Hannah's example. Our God is in heaven. He rejoices up. Here's a verse that just so encourages me. For the Lord your God is living among you. He's a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful song. Another beautiful picture of God, that he rejoices over you with singing. And he delights in you because he loves you. And he delights in answering our prayer. So the people of God enjoy his provision, and they're content. God gives the best. In fact, the Lord said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to you? We can be evil, we give good gifts. Well, God is altogether good, and we can expect his blessing. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. That's the New Living Translation of James 1:17. Hannah kept her promise and gave Samuel to the Lord. Now, we've had a few people at our meeting, some of our families that had a lot of children. They left a kid at the chapel. They didn't read this story, but they just didn't count them when they put them in the car. And off they went. And I know that one kid told me, he said, after that happened, he said, I'm afraid that my parents are going to leave me. I said, well, get your mama to read you the story of Hannah and little Samuel, because she gave him to the priest. No. And I said, you're too naughty. I wouldn't want you. I didn't say that. I like them all. I like them all, every one of them. She kept her promise and gave Samuel to the Lord. But she came up every year. She came periodically. And I love this phrase. She not only dedicated herself to the child, she dedicated her child to God. And how thankful you are, young people, if you have parents that have dedicated you to the Lord. How thankful you should be if there are people in your assembly who are praying for you and wanting you to be God's best, to take the high road, to walk that path of wisdom and righteousness, not be sucked into that path of sin and folly. People pray, and the Lord honors that. Rejoice that God loves to give good gifts to his children. He just delights to do that. As God grants your requests, offer them back to the Lord to be used as he pleases. We don't keep our blessings to ourselves, do we? And whatever we have, it's all to be used for the Lord anyway. And we're thankful that he gives, and then we can use it. What might God want you to do with those gifts he has given you? Well, you know, it's wonderful to watch little children play. They're pretty selfish. They won't give up their balls or their toys. But really, as a stewardship, whatever we have, it's really something that the Lord can use. Indeed, correct? And we give it back to him, and the Lord uses it. Pray, we can do a lot of things. Missionaries need both financial support, but they need people to pray for them. With the internet today, we can learn a lot about what's going on in their life. We can honor faithful people. We have older saints in our meeting. We have widows. And we have young people go help at their houses, and we visit them and support them. And I appreciate the words that come out of 1 Samuel. God honors those who honor him. Do you get that? If you honor God, God will honor you. You use your gifts and talents for the Lord, he will honor you. What might he be asking you to do? Well, we've looked at that. People of God worship. And what time is it? I appreciate that. 5 till. Well, just close it up here in 5 till. Well, I'm not going to read 1 Samuel 2, but she has a beautiful poem of praise to the Lord. She praises God for his goodness. She rejoices in the Lord, acknowledges his strength, delights in his deliverance. She praises God for his greatness, that he's holy, he's incomparable, he's a rock, he's a ruler. He satisfies the hungry. He raises the dead. He elevates the poor. He guards the feet of those faithful servants. He will bring the wicked to destruction. Well, that's a woman whose heart is tuned to sing his praise. Praise God for a secure future. Ultimately, the Lord will judge this old earth and right all the wrongs. We can praise God that a new king will be raised up, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Messiah will reign and will be part of that reign. You know, in Psalms 22 and verse 3, in the King James Version, it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Tonight we enjoyed singing Joy, Joy in my heart. Joy, Joy in my heart. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Their story. Tell your story. And we gave you that simple outline for giving your testimony. What was your life before Christ? What's the turning point, maybe it's scripture? What's your life after your decision to trust Christ? Tell your story. God is seeking worshipers, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. It's wonderful when God turns our heart to sing and praise him day by day. Whistle, hum, I like hummers too. Not what GM makes, but I like what believers have when they sing praise to the Lord all day long. Well, we honor godly people today for the lives that they're. We honor godly people for their lives of service and song of praise to the Lord. We just thank the Lord for people that bring joy into our life, and we can bring joy into somebody else's life. And there are many people today that have unfulfilled desires and problems, and that's the human dilemma. However, a song, an initiative on your part to accept them, to show that Christ is there for them and that they have hope in him. And that's help for coping. Living for Christ, loving his word, moving forward. Oh, we love that. We move forward with the Lord. I think we need to think and swallow before we criticized, and Hannah had a lot of that. I don't know how she handled that home. But aren't you thankful when you're in a building where people, or an assembly where people are building you up? They delight in encouraging you and in strengthening you. And just look at this. Now, just trust me. And she has her little teddy bear, but I love it, God. I love it. Well, the Lord has something much, much bigger for her, and she has to let it go. And the verse is, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that works within us. He's able to do, isn't he? And in all the shortcomings of life, all the pain and sorrow that people have, we can say our God is able. He's able to keep, he's able to do. And he's there for us in our time of pain too. We have a little boy in our meeting whose name is Samuel. And, you know, God hears. But right now Samuel's working on listening. We sure like him, though. It's the first child of a young couple in our meeting. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful tonight that you're a prayer-answering God. We thank you that when we come into your presence, we come to the throne of grace where we can find help and find mercy to help in time of need. We thank you, Lord, that these hard things in life you can turn into a fountain of blessing. Help us, Lord, ever to cling to you, to be faithful in our walk, to be gracious in our talk, and help us, Lord, to see that you're for us and that in the purposes that you have for us, you will work out those things that you want. So, Lord, we want to be part of the great story of making the Lord Jesus known. We want to help others to walk in a way that would please him. Pray for strength to do that. We pray that you'd strengthen homes here and families. Help our young people to choose early in life to remember their Creator and make every day count for you, Lord. Fill our hearts with praise and thanksgiving as we walk among people that are so lost and walking in darkness. Help us to be truly light and salt in this world. We thank you for our study tonight and this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.